Lucy Mannering and her sister Rebecca have a lot in common. Apart from family ties, they're both lawyers, and they both separated from their husbands within 4 months of each other. They became, in their words, members of a club they never wanted to join. That club is a pretty full one in this country. 94,000 Australians get divorced each year on average. And psychologists peg separation and divorce just behind the death of a spouse or loved one, as far as the trauma it can involve. So how do you protect yourself and any children you share from the fallout and leave the relationship in a kind of sane way with respect and dignity intact? Can you have a good divorce? Lucy and Rebecca Mannering have co-authored a book called Surviving Your Split. And I am super keen to hear your thoughts on how to get through this. What has helped you at one of these most difficult times in life? Are there things you do differently? And what's the best advice you can give others who are going through it? lifematters@abc.net.au. Now, Lucy Mannering, getting a bit personal to start with you first of all, how much of a shock was it to you to suddenly realise what you faced during your marriage breakup, legally and emotionally?
Look, it was a terrible shock. It kind of came out of the blue for me. And really what helped me get through it was concentrating on the practicalities, what needed to be done in terms of property, children, what arrangements needed to be made.
Well, in terms of making those arrangements, did it come as a surprise to you that there didn't actually seem to be that much nuts and bolts advice about navigating those things through separation and divorce, a kind of step-by-step guide to disentangling your life?
Absolutely. Rebecca and I were very lucky in that our father has been a family lawyer for over 40 years. So we really had a real hands-on approach in that way. We were guided through it by someone who loved us dearly and wanted the best outcome for us and for our children and also for our ex-spouses. But it came as a surprise to me a few years later when one of my best friends got divorced and asked for what's the best guide to divorce. And I said, oh, well, I'll look into it for you. And suddenly I realised there was absolutely nothing in the market.
Well, Rebecca Mannering, are you with us too?
I am.
Good on you. Now, your law practice in Brisbane specialises in family law. Family law's in the family. But how confronting was it for you to go through divorce yourself?
It was pretty confronting. Although I knew the law, the emotions were pretty raw and that was something I wasn't really expecting. So, yeah, I did go through a really difficult period of grieving, but I was lucky in that I had obviously, you know, my dad and my sisters and my mum, but really it was quite hard.
Yeah, of course. I don't think in any way it can be anything other.
Although, no, that's right.
Although, Lucy, I have to say that this book you and Rebecca have written, Surviving Your Split, as well as being very practical and useful, it is actually quite funny. I mean, does it help to work at trying to keep your sense of humour, or have you only been able to do that in retrospect?
I think in retrospect, I found a sense of humour again. At the time, I didn't think it was very funny at all. But I think humour does help with lightening the situation, and you've got to be able to laugh, otherwise you'll just cry.
This is Life Matters, discussing how to get through a relationship breakup as well as you both can, on a practical level in particular. Lucy Mannering and Rebecca Mannering are the authors of Surviving Your Split. They're sisters, lawyers and divorcees. And if you have experience and advice about things that have helped you practically and emotionally to get through a separation or divorce, positive things you can offer others, give us a call. If you're in Tasmania, Victoria, New South Wales or the ACT, the number is 1300 225576. You can also text 0418 226 576. If you're elsewhere around the country, let us know by email your thoughts, lifematters@abc.net.au. Let's hear from you, Matthew Crawford, some comments from that have come in that you can share with
us. Well, a text message that's come in, hello Amanda, is this person says, I did it very easily. I walked away with nothing. And then you'll be surprised how amicable the ex can be. So I think there's a couple of different ways to read that. I mean, do you have low expectations and therefore you're not disappointed when you don't, you know, get the highest level of return, let's say?
Yes, interesting. Well, interesting. Lucy Mannering, you break down the sort of whole process of separation chronologically, starting with urgent matters, the things that need to be done immediately you decide to split, or, you know, the split happens. Then you follow it up with weekly tasks and then monthly. In the state of turmoil you're in at the start, it surprises me that sorting out your superannuation is high up on your urgent list. Now, why is that?
Well, when you have self-managed super funds, things can go very wrong very quickly. And if you don't get those issues sorted out really quick, you can be in a lot of trouble legally. You can be fined by the ATO. And that's one of the things that we have found really becomes a difficult matter to unpack if it's already progressed.
Yeah, I mean, it's an interesting one that, you know, to immediately think about something like that, I suppose. I mean, it's, bringing it to mind is a tricky thing, I think.
Mm. Super funds get raided and that money can be really difficult to recover. So if you're planning your future, you really need to be careful of matters like that.
And Rebecca, the other thing you say is to attend quickly to is your joint bank account, so that what, neither your now ex nor you can go on a spending spree with each other's money?
That's right. I mean, usually it can be added back in or factored in some way, but in terms of trying to keep things amicable, if everyone knows what the other are doing, that's helpful. So if the bank accounts can have a two signature to operate, then people won't go off and raid them or go and put them, you know, go put the money somewhere safe, which really upsets the other person.
Right. This is, Lucy, this is all about, you know, kind of though, in a sense, not trusting the other person, isn't it? Which may very well be the case. But what if you do trust them and don't want to suggest otherwise?
Look, I think you can trust but verify. Everyone goes into these things with the best of intentions and wanting an amicable divorce, but it only takes one party for it to quickly become not amicable, and things go very quickly wrong.
Well, let's take some calls too. Matthew.
So Nina is calling from the Hunter region in New South Wales. Nina, you're a family mediator and you've been through divorce as well. What do you think is the key advice that you would give people who might be in that position?
Yeah, look, I think it's a very difficult time because it's so emotionally charged, and we've often got children to manage emotionally through that situation as well. So I think what my ex-partner and I did quite well for the children's sake was to try and form a business-like relationship. So we would set some rules and boundaries around what we would dialogue about, and that was just about the children. So everything else we went to our own counselling about, and it was a difficult separation, ours. And yet when we came together, we would just talk about the children, which almost appeared quite odd, but it worked. It worked for the kids. They were 9 and 11 when we separated, and we did a week about situation, which has to be delicately handled because we know that children will only do well in that situation if there's no high conflict between the parents.
Yes, and how's your relationship with your ex now, Nina?
Yes, 18 years down the track and we're still exactly the same as we were then. So we have managed to go to the special milestones, which have been uncomfortable in some ways but important for the kids. So we've brought new partners to the 18th and the 21st and the weddings. Now we have a grandchild. And so by maintaining that very strict idea of just talking about the children, it seemed to have worked for us and the boys seemed to be doing okay.
Good on you. All right. Thank you, Nina. Let's hear now from Trish on the mid-north coast of New South Wales. Trish, what's your advice for getting through this?
Look, it's always very hard having that separation. But look, my advice to other people out there, whether it be men, women, is to focus on the positive. I did a lot of study. I worked full time. I focused on my children, their activities. They did dancing and drama and that kind of thing. So I was fortunate enough to have my children full time, and he had them on some weekends, etc. My main focus was my children, to keep them into a, in the same environment and the same schooling, not too much change, because it was pretty much a shock for them as well, especially how my marriage broke down after 23 years. It wasn't the norm, but that's okay. I got through that. But, about keeping it all amicable, if possible, for the kids.
Mm.
If I had my time over again, because I kept them in the same home, etc. Kids are pretty resilient. They adjust pretty well. Keeping their heart open to their dad was huge for me, especially what I'd gone through. And getting advice and talking to people, like proper advice, get healing. Sometimes counsellors don't always work. I found that they did not work for me. I knew more than them. I hate to say that. It's not with ego, and I'm not a counsellor in any formal way.
Well, you've got to keep trying until you find...
Absolutely, what works for you. And you know what? It's not about just one thing. Keep trying other things, it all works and marries together. And it's about, not having and holding on to that revenge. Don't hold on to anger and revenge. Doesn't matter what happens. Everything happens for a reason. I so believe that.
All right. That's so good. Yeah. Great. Thank you, Trish. Good on you.
And let me bring in Oliver from Sydney. Oliver, you've been married 3 times. You've got 7 kids in total. How did you rely on the people around you to help you through that, Oliver?
I think this is the most significant thing. When you're in a marriage breakdown, you feel as like you're the centre of the universe, but actually you're not. You're part of a group of people all being affected by what's going on. And what we've done as an extended group is to focus on friendship. It always seems to be...
So when you talk about an extended group, are you talking about the actual protagonists in this, the kids?
Yes.
And the ex-partner, yes?
Yes, so all of us as a group. And we've really focused on friendship and as parents and adults, our responsibilities to our kids. And this has been successful. I think as somebody else was saying, you wouldn't necessarily choose these moments in your life, but they come to you one way or another. And it does seem to me that the most important thing is to recognize the value of the relationship you've been in, even though now, either as the antagonist or protagonist, you're moving on somewhere else. So you really need to focus on the group as a whole. Of course, the tension in this is it only takes one person in the group not to want to play,
yeah.
And it becomes quite tricky.
Yeah, of course.
And we've been lucky because everybody has been sort of there putting in their 2 pennies to make it work.
Good on you, Oliver. All right, thank you. In Life Matters, we're talking about what makes for a successful separation. Lucy Mannering and Rebecca Mannering are the authors of Surviving Your Split. Now, Lucy, we talked about, there was a bit of mention of, trying not to be revengeful or spiteful. Now, you have some sage words of advice here about keeping your phone at arm's length. Well, in fact, further away. Why is it a very bad idea to send nasty texts to your ex, even though you really want to?
Yeah. Absolutely. Rebecca will tell you that just about every affidavit in a family court matter that she writes these days includes great chunks of text messages reproduced verbatim. Now, the thing is, when you're sitting on your couch at 10 o'clock at night fuming, you're not thinking, how is it going to feel when I'm in court and someone is reading out these words to a packed room? You're just creating evidence that can be used against you. it's not useful, you have to stop and think, is this kind? Is it necessary? Is it useful? And if it's none of those things, send it to your sister.
Rebecca, did you get those texts from Lucy? Or vice versa?
We did. We did. And that's a really good way to do it because, you know, sending these rage-filled texts just isn't helpful, and getting them back isn't helpful. It just propagates any sort of difficulties. And I haven't ever really seen anyone resolve anything usefully with these text wars. So send it to your sister, you know, send it to your best friend. Take a deep breath and just concentrate on what kind of working relationship do I need to build with the other party.
Rebecca, what are some of the other things you've seen as a family lawyer that you'd say are no-nos? You know, what else should each party avoid doing or saying to each other, especially in those early days when emotions are so raw and you really want to?
Really think about what you're putting out on social media, and just don't forget that in a couple of years, your children can probably find this stuff on your Facebook. Really have a think about, do I want to have a workable relationship where we can both go to soccer or to football, or do I just want to keep making my point on social media or through a text message? Keep that level of hostility going. So sometimes someone has to step up and be the sane parent.
Here in Life Matters, we're trying to find the good divorce. And do get in touch if you've got some positive tips and advice on that. Let's hear now from Rob, who's in Sydney. Now, Rob, tell us about working through the practical things as you did it.
Yes. So my wife and I agreed, as it became sort of inescapable that we would need to separate, that we could spend an awful lot of money on solicitors and cause a lot of damage to ourselves financially and also to our son, to our young son. So we both went into it with a constructive approach, intending to adopt a constructive approach. We each had solicitors. And I was blessed with a very wise solicitor, Hi Ken, if you're listening, who said, when I walked in to see him, the first thing he said is, what do you want to do? Do you want to take all the money and keep it all yourself? Or are you just sick of it and you just want her to have everything? Or do you want to do something in between? And I said, well, I'd like to do something in between that gives a fair and reasonable outcome for all parties. And he said, oh, that's okay. He said, and the first thing you need to do is go away and work out the cost of your son. Just basically sit down with your wife and a sheet of paper and see how much he costs to run, and then you start to have the basis for a financial settlement.
And that's what happened in your case.
Yeah.
Good on you.
And it worked very well. And then later on, some of the other things, he showed his wisdom. I started to fret a bit about having access to our son, and I felt my ex-wife was being a bit, you know, sort of possessive about it and using it as a punishment. But he said, don't worry, in a little while she's going to need time for herself and she will naturally ask you to look after your son.
Interesting piece of advice. All right, but good on you. Thank you, Rob.
And a couple of further thoughts on the involvement of lawyers, I suppose. On Facebook, Robert says, get a mediator before you get a lawyer. But Anastasia takes an opposite point of view. Better get a lawyer, son. Better get a real good one. Mm-hmm. Now, let me invite Peter from the Hunter Valley. Peter, you've gone through a separation scenario. What were the most important aspects for you in getting through that?
Yeah, probably personal suggestion rather than any practical thing, and that's about dignity and respect. I think for me, the most important thing was, for my own sake and for the sake of my ex-wife, was that I remembered constantly that we had three beautiful children together and that I wouldn't have had those children without her, and that despite anything else that was going on at the time, it was important for me to treat her with dignity and respect so that I could maintain my own sense of self-dignity, if you like, that I didn't wake up the morning after being cranky about something or sending the abusive text thinking that that was beneath me. So I think that, to me, has been the most important thing in our separation and getting through that smoothly, that I didn't descend to anything that I would think was beneath the sort of behaviour I'd expect of myself.
Peter, did you have to go through an actual checklist to remind yourself to do that, or did this somehow just come naturally to you?
Well, no, it was constantly reminding myself that that was the approach I decided to take. And I think it's a bit like Lucy and Rebecca were just talking about, not sending that cranky text in response to a cranky text. And sometimes that was very, very hard to do. But I was determined that at the end of all this, because everything ends, even bad experiences and good ones, at the end of this, I wanted to make sure that my sense of my own dignity and the sort of behaviour that I think is acceptable, that I lived up to that. So, but it wasn't easy, but that's the best advice I could give anybody.
Thank you, Peter. Let's hear from Lucinda in Ballarat now. Now, Lucinda, you're the child of divorced parents. Tell us about how that affected you and how you've got through it.
Yeah, so I'm a child of divorced parents, and I come from a community where divorce or separation is seen as a shameful outcome for your marriage. The really good thing that helped me and my sister through our parents' constant separation and then eventual divorce was connecting with other kids and within our community, and support from adults in the community to not treat us any different because our parents were going through something that was so out of the ordinary. Mm. So having people around us to allow us to continue to feel normal ended up with me feeling really normal and empowered, and allowing me to go through school as regular a pace as I could have.
Thank you. All right, interesting. Now, that phone line's not very good, so we'll need to end it there, Lucinda, but thank you. Let's just focus a bit specifically on children, a bit more on that. Rebecca Mannering, custody arrangements, you know, can be deeply, deeply fraught. What's sort of the major advice you have for separating partners with children?
My advice would be to get legal advice early and then look at mediation. When you have legal advice and you understand, you know, the lingo, because that's constantly changing, it's now lives with and spends time with, rather than custody and access or guardianship and contact, then a really good mediator will let you both sit down and work out arrangements that are going to suit your children, because parties know better than we do whether or not, you know, the child, you know, one child has soccer on a Wednesday or one child has tennis on a Thursday. That's a sort of really fine detail that only parents know about, and only parents can sit down and work out the best arrangements for their children. But having a really good mediator early can help you do that.
Lucy, when and what should you tell your children, do you reckon, about the reasons for the split? Does it depend on the circumstances of the breakup? Does it depend on the age of the children?
The age of the children is a really key point. If they're very little, obviously they're not going to understand. Teenagers will know far more than you think that they would. They'll know details that you possibly would prefer that they didn't. So, it really depends on the kids. It does depend on the circumstances of the breakup, and we talk about that a little bit in the book. Infidelity can be a huge issue, and if it's blindingly obvious to everybody, i.e. one partner has immediately moved in with their new partner, then having an honest conversation about that with older children can be helpful as well.
Well, Rebecca, finally, with separation, what do you think is the key to keeping things respectful? We heard Peter in the Hunter Valley talking about that. Keeping a sort of kindness in this, in your experience, but also, you know, in addition to your own split, you've dealt with many cases of separations over the years. What does make a good divorce?
Think about the long game. Think about, do you want to be the family where the kids go, oh, we can't really have mum and dad at the wedding, we'll have to elope? Do you want the, you know, do you want to be the family where everyone can turn up to the school graduations and the university graduations? Because when you have children together, you've got so many big milestones coming up. You've got weddings, graduations, you've got grandchildren. Keeping that in mind really helps.
Play the long game. That's the advice as far as a good divorce goes. Rebecca Mannering and Lucy Mannering are both sisters. They're both lawyers. They're both divorced. And they're both authors of Surviving Your Split, a guide to separation, divorce and family law in Australia. Lucy and Rebecca, thank you for sharing your expertise and experience on this. It's great to talk to you.
Thank you.
And many thanks for all your calls too, and Matthew Crawford for wrangling them. This is Life Matters.